listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
Happy Creation Club Friday. What is new today?
Well, we have an announcement to begin with. The Missouri Association for Creation will have their monthly event next Monday, which would be Monday, May the 9th. Beginning at 6:30, they have an early bird video starring Dr. Robert Carter. You said you've recently interviewed him.
He was on Faith and Family this Monday. The Society of Creation is meeting this summer, has a conference this summer, and he's one of the speakers for that. And I had a chance to talk with him on Monday on Faith and Family. So that should be up on our archives. I'll double check.
Very good. Yeah. So we'll all have to access those archives and hear what he had to say there. And if you're able in the St. Louis area to attend the meeting of the Missouri Association for Creation, they will be meeting at Gateway Christian Church, 1951 DePere Road. At 6:30 p.m., they'll have the video starring Dr. Robert Carter called The Alternative, Creation's Competitive Edge. It's a 47-minute long DVD that basically points out that the biblical account of creation is certainly something that can be defended scientifically. And so he watched the video and then learned how the best scientific evidence really ties in with what the Bible teaches about creation. Then at 7:30 p.m., Ivan Bergener of the St. Louis area will be speaking on the topic of creation declares the glory of God. We know that in Psalm 19, it says the heavens declare the glory of God. And so Dr. Bergener, I'm not sure if he's got a doctorate, but he is definitely going to be speaking about the glory of God and how the glory of God is revealed in all kinds of ways in creation. Ivan Bergener is a retired engineer, and let's see, he was a chemical engineer and has a patent and knows a lot about scientific stuff, and also has been studying the Bible in his retirement and is glad to talk about creation and the Bible. And that's what he'll be talking about, is how creation reveals the glory of God in numerous ways. So that's at Gateway Christian Church, 1951 DePere Road in the St. Louis area. On Monday, the 9th of May, 6:30 p.m. is the video with Dr. Carter, and 7:30, Ivan Bergener talking about how creation reveals the glory of God.
Well, very good, very good. So coming up this Monday.
That's coming up this Monday in the St. Louis area.
All right. Well, and, you know, just a little plug for the Society of Creation as well. As I mentioned, Dr. Carter is going to be at that this summer. And so you can find societyofcreation.org. You can find their website and find out more about that conference or listen to the Faith and Family episode from Monday on that. It is up on our website under in the archives there. So.
Very good. And if people are not able to attend that conference this summer live, I believe they are going to live stream it, are they not?
They are live streaming it to, they're streaming it to some of the Concordia universities. So if you're near Concordia, well, it's live at Concordia University in St. Paul, Minnesota, but it'll also be broadcast to Concordia University, Wisconsin, Concordia University, Ann Arbor, and Concordia University, Texas. So it'll be on those campuses as well.
That's exciting, because it's so important for everybody to get this kind of information, but especially, I think, you know, college students at a time in their life when they're often really having their faith challenged by people who claim there is no God, the story of creation in the Bible is a myth, a fairy tale, and the only reasonable explanation for how things got here is millions and billions of years and evolution. So this should be really helpful information to students and their parents and grandparents as well.
Sure. You know, the Society of Creation started primarily for Concordia University professors, but there was just so much interest that certainly the students and others in the community have gotten involved as well. So others are welcome to join the Society of Creation, especially at their conferences.
Yeah. Excellent. and some other excellent resources we'd like to share with our people. Often we talk about Answers in Genesis, and they have a lot of resources available at their website, answersingenesis.org. And they have a magazine that you can subscribe to. It's called Answers Magazine. The latest issue is the April to June 2016 issue, and there's lots and lots of stuff in there. And some of it is written more at an adult level, but they also have a section in there that's written just for children, so that's helpful so the whole family can enjoy the magazine and get a lot out of it. Several of the articles in this issue have to do with various creatures that God has made and interesting facts about them. One of the articles is about the armadillo. Used to be that armadillos were south of the border, and then they got a little bit north of the border. You think, oh, well, they're in Texas. Well, they've made it all the way up here to Missouri, and I guess as far north as central Indiana.
Wow.
But they've spread their territory.
I remember that from the 80s, starting to see, back in the 80s, starting to see armadillo during the summer out camping.
Yeah.
Isn't amazing. That interesting? Yeah.
Yeah, there's about 20 species of armadillos. There's only one that's up this way. It's the nine-banded armadillo. And it's a remarkable little creature. It's the only mammal with an exterior bony shell. Its external plates are made of countless six-sided tiles called osteoderms. Each tile consists of a hard, bony plate covered by skin. A thin layer of keratin, the material in our fingernails, coats the top. All those tiny tiles are held together by tough, flexible collagen fibers. So that makes them like little army tanks.
Yeah.
And contrary to popular belief, the nine-banded armadillo doesn't just roll up into a ball when it's threatened. It has other defense mechanisms to make use of that armor. It says if you would surprise the armadillo, he can jump up in the air. In fact, it says he can jump as much as 3 feet in the air, and then he scurries off with at high speed. He's very agile. Armadillos have been known to climb fences, which is surprising.
Have you ever encountered an armadillo, like, in the woods?
Not in the woods. I've seen one in my backyard, but I've never encountered one in the woods. How about you?
Yes, on a little hiking adventure with my youth in Florida. We were hiking on a trail in the woods, and an armadillo ran literally right between my feet. Like,
oh,
right,
wow.
Between my, while we were, yeah. So you say the armadillo could jump 3 feet, but I'm pretty sure I jumped even higher than that.
I'm sure that would be pretty startling.
It was a little bit, but you're right. They are fascinating creatures.
They are, and some other interesting facts about them before we move on to some of the other articles in this magazine. It mentions that he can go underwater too. It says, to escape a predator, he can go underwater. He can hold his breath for up to 6 minutes as he scurries across the bottom, or he can gulp in air, puff up his belly like a balloon, and paddle across a stream or pond. So those are pretty brilliant escape tactics. He also can dig. He's got strong, powerful front claws, and he can, in a few seconds, dig a little hole and wedge his soft underbelly into that part and leave only the hard shell exposed to the predator and thus protect himself. They dig all kinds of tunnels and burrows with multiple emergency exits, so they have all kinds of things that God has designed them to do. And then they, of course, they eat voraciously. They eat bugs, and he's got a long tongue that he can squirt some sticky saliva onto, so he can go through the in the soil and get ants and ant eggs and eat dozens and dozens of insects with every flick of his tongue. So, pretty remarkable little creature. Other creatures that are talked about in this particular issue of Answers Magazine, they talk about some plants that grow up high up in the Andes Mountains, up in the Atacama Desert, in the Chilean Andes. It's the Yareta plant, and it talks about how old some of these plants may be. They're very hardy. They live in those very harsh conditions, and they grow to be 10 or 20 feet across, but they only grow about 1 to 2 centimeters per year. So to get to be 10 or 20 feet across when you're only growing 1 or 2 centimeters a year takes a long, long time. They thrive Very high, above 10,000 feet in altitude, where it's very dry and harsh sunlight, very cold at night, and yet they are very crowded together. So they grow in such a way that the tiny leaves are very crowded together, stems are densely packed, so strong that a person can stand on a plant without breaking it.
Wow.
And the density of the plant holds the heat in at night, so it's a pretty... another pretty interesting example of God's creation. They have another article in here about the trap jaw ant, and how it can escape by snapping its jaws shut. And when it does so, it can go as much as 15 inches backwards to escape from a predator, or it can fly up in the air 3 inches. And they give the equivalent if a human could do that. The human long jump record is 29 feet, 4 1/4 inches. The equivalent, if we could jump as much as this ant, would be 132 feet. Or the pole vault record is 20 feet, 1 3/4 inches. If we could jump as high as this ant does, it would be as much as 44 feet. So quite a remarkable little jumper, this ant. Again, that God is equipped with this special way to escape from predators. There's another article in here about spiders and spider webs, and that's a fascinating topic all of its own. And they give the example of the orb weaver spider that has access up to 7 glands to produce different kinds of silk and glue. You know, it's not just one kind of silk and one kind of glue that it uses, but several different kinds. And the engineering feat of making a spider web is interesting, too. There's an article by Dr. Gordon Wilson on this spider and spider webs and the intricacy of it. And one of the subtitles of the article, The Ultimate Web Designer, points out that we should remark at the engineering required and the engineer, with a capital E, behind the engineer. So we see God's design in the designs that these little spiders make. Another article in this issue that's really fascinating is about the cuttlefish. You know, the cuttlefish is in the same class of animals as as the octopus and nautilus and squid. And it's a remarkable little chameleon, as it were. It has the ability to change its color and its texture and its shape so that it blends in with the ocean floor. And it's an astonishing thing. And to think that its little brain can handle eating and swimming and all of these kinds of things, finding a place to hide, and instantly, in just a matter of seconds, it can make itself blend into its surroundings, even able to make its body look like the waving fronds of kelp if it's hiding among kelp, or to take the shape of coral if it's hiding among coral. The article on that is fascinating. And if you go online, you can actually find some YouTube videos that actually show this happening. It's fascinating to see these little critters change their appearance so quickly. It's you would think it was science fiction, but it's science fact. And the science fact is that it was created by God to do that. It couldn't evolve over millions and billions of years to do that. And there are many, many articles in this magazine besides the ones about the various creatures and their talents and special features that God has equipped them with. There's articles about the similarities of creation and evolution. You might not think there are some, but this article points out where creationists and evolutionists agree, and then, of course, point out why we disagree, where we disagree. And there's articles about ape men, and, of course, pointing out that there are no true ape men, but how one looks at the fossils of apes and humans and how they are displayed in museums. There's an interesting article about that and corrective to the phony evolution way of looking at things. There's an interesting article about DNA and how the more we study DNA, the more complex it turns out to be, and that there are languages within languages in DNA, and it's far more complex than people ever imagined it could be. There's articles about meteorites and other things. So it's just a really wonderful issue. This is Answers Magazine, the April to June 2016 issue. You can obtain that by going to answersingenesis.org. and you go to the store, and you can see about that. Or for those who are not wanting to use the internet, you can just call 1-800-778-3390. That's 1-800-778-3390. That takes you to the Answers bookstore, where they have lots of resources available to help you and your children and your grandchildren understand this whole debate between creation and evolution, and see that the best scientific evidence actually does support what the Bible teaches about God as our creator. And the Answers in Genesis people are always very good at trying to lead people back to the gospel, to see the connection between creation and the story of salvation, and how what the Bible tells us about the first Adam is very much tied into what the Bible tells us about Jesus, who is the last Adam, who by his obedience and his being obedient even to the point of death on a cross to save us is what the gospel is all about. And so they do a consistent job of trying to bring us back to Christ and the gospel, so that we don't just think of creation as somehow disconnected from the central message of the Bible, which is salvation by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Now, you know, when you consider all these things that we've just been talking about and people believing in evolution, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. Each creature that God has made is so special in so many ways. How could this happen by accident over millions and billions of years? You know, scientists tell us that there's about 8.7 million species on planet Earth today. 8.7 million species. And people who believe in evolution say that life has been on planet Earth for about 4 billion years. You know, that's not nearly enough time, even if the mechanisms that they propose for evolution were true, and they're not. But even if it could happen that things would evolve over time and turn into different kinds of creatures, do you really think 4 billion years is enough time for the millions and millions of creatures with all their special characteristics? I don't think so. Better to believe what God tells us. He's the one who created us, and he's the one who redeemed us. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Thanks be to God. Well, Pastor, God's blessings as the weather gets nice to get out there and find some of those creatures God created for us to enjoy, right?
We'll do that.
God's peace.